ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Generally Irritable, your new morning show. I've got Benjamin in the background helping me with some things. What is all that racket going on over there? Sounds like somebody making tea, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we got going on here today. I got my gain all the way up so I can hear every single scratch and little knock in the background. You guys are going to be able to hear that too. As you know, when we first launch the show, we always do a little technical checking. I've got Lord Reddick in the background making sure Instagram is up, Rumble is up, doing all the things, making sure all our weird technical things are working out. You guys, we have some weird mic stuff going on this morning. What? Lord Reddick is giving me a weird look. Okay, so yeah, you guys, we're experimenting this week with the show, having it be a morning show, essentially starting off your day with news and politics, catching you up on what we're doing. Oh, look it, and Puddin' found my earbuds. That's my new nickname for Benjamin, if you guys want to pick on him. The Joker, what's her name? Harley Quinn calls him Puddin', so I've decided to start calling Benjamin Puddin'. It's my new nickname for him. So anyway, okay, so we're trying out this week, Generally Irritable, as a morning show, making sure to bring you the news and events, catching you up on what's going on, reaction videos to things in the news, and looking for every opportunity to bring on a guest, somebody who's maybe running for office, in office, people who are doing great things in the community. We're focusing on Vermont and Central Texas, but we're looking at the whole country as well. But we want to bring on guests that are meaningful to you. And so if you have anybody that you want to hear from, anybody you know we need to listen to, put it in the chat. Tell us who you'd like to hear from or who you want to connect us to that you think everyone else needs to hear as well. So we're really excited today to have on Christopher Aaron Felker, friend of the channel and a good personal friend of mine. He is the Burlington GOP chair. So the city of Burlington, Vermont. He has the honor or displeasure, depending on the day, probably of representing Republicans and conservatives in the city of Burlington and in one of the most progressive cities in the country. You guys hear all the time these crazy stories about Vermont, crazy Bernie Sanders, and what is going on up there, the socialist takeover of one of the most libertarian states in the country, which for those of you who don't know, not a single Democrat was elected to office in Vermont until the 80s. I think it was Leahy was the first Democrat to be elected in the state of Vermont to represent us in Congress at governor. It doesn't matter. Like, not a single Democrat was elected. And as you may recall, that's because they were racist and segregationists. But we're going to set that aside. We've got Christopher Aaron Felker with us today. Again, he's fighting the good fight in Burlington. He was one of my main, you know, people that I leaned on when I was in Vermont, when I was running for office. He's just, not only is he really a great guy, generally speaking, he's also an excellent political strategist. So this is somebody who can see the playing field, see how things are laid out, and help other candidates and help the party make decisions. So he's an up-and-coming star, you guys. I really am excited to see where he goes in the future. For today, we're going to talk about his city council campaign and the mayoral race in Burlington. Christopher Aaron Felker, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Erica.
Yay.
Thank you for the kind words, too. You almost brought tears to my eyes. I miss you so much. You were such an instrumental part of me getting involved and being engaged and staying engaged, because you showed me that it wasn't a futile battle trying to represent conservative and constitutional principles in Vermont. And so I attribute a lot of my commitment and my dedication and my love for the Burlington GOP to you.
Oh, thank you. I love it. Well, you know, that is my whole goal. You know, my purpose on this earth is an engaged and informed electorate. And if anything that I did, you know, has encouraged and inspired people to get involved, that is what matters most.
Me too. It's all about the conversation. And so even in my ward, like you mentioned earlier, Vermont, Burlington, Vermont is the biggest city in a very little state. It has extremely progressive ideals these days after the Bernie Sanders and Back to the Earth revolution in the city, in the state. We are very similar to West Coast cities like Seattle, Portland, Berkeley. We're just on the West Coast of New England. And we're just as concentrated in our progressive slash socialist takeover that's going on here. And so it's important that we push back. And in my ward of the city, because like you said, I am running for city council, my ward has been held by progressive party members. And for those who aren't familiar, in Vermont, we have three major political parties, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the Progressive Party. And so my ward in Burlington has been held by progressives for 40 plus years. Democrats don't even win it in an off year election. So we go and stand up to be part of the conversation and to demonstrate to the electorate that even though we might not win this time around, we're going to show up, provide leadership and solutions to the problems that we see in Burlington. And if we keep showing up, eventually, they'll vote for us with a majority.
That is the hope.
Because Bernie did it. He was old curmudgeon from the old North End, and he was just some crackpot that ran for office and lost like five times.
Five times. Yeah.
And then finally got elected by 10 votes. So you know what? I am one of the most stubborn and determined people on the planet. And the key here is, one of the big issues that I see in Vermont politics, and correct me if I'm wrong, Erica, is that the party itself, Republican Party, doesn't really have a bench. So they scramble every 20 months to try and find a candidate. And then then they don't support the candidates. When they get inevitably whacked by the press, they get stunned and they go back into reclusive retreat.
Yeah.
If I lose an election, I get up the next day, suit up and show up, and I go back to meetings, because that's what providing leadership means. And so Vermonters, you know, in my opinion, they'll vote for you for two reasons. They need to know who you are, which means you need to be in the room. And two, they need to feel like you put the work in. And whether they love me or hate me, agree with me or disagree with me, they know I'm putting in the work, and they certainly know who the heck I am.
Yeah. That is for sure. You really called it. There are a lot of people who are conservative, right-leaning, you know, Republican types who might run for office, might be willing to, you know, be on their town assembly or state assembly or something like that. But because of how nasty our local press is, and because of how nasty the Democrats and progressives are, there's so many people who just won't get involved in politics. Even normal Democrats, you guys, right? Because you and I both know, Christopher, that there are people who would be considered blue dog Democrats who do not think all the nonsense going on is okay, right? They just want there to be a social safety net. They want to make sure we have money for schools, but they recognize a $1 billion budget for the state of Vermont and a, you know, $100 billion budget for Burlington City Council is outrageous, right? Yeah. There are Democrats who can do math.
Right.
But there they won't run for office either.
Yeah. Right. Well, because it's the political climate. And like you said, and I don't want to pin it all on the press. Don't get me wrong. Mm. They're responsible for their part, but it's the leadership in both of the other political parties, the Democrats and the progressives, that they have cultivated an environment in the activists where like the media reports what the activists do from a very favorable light. But the activists are the ones that terrify people into refusing to run for office.
That's right. That's right. They're afraid that they're going to
because they're fascists.
I mean, think about it. How many times did people go to the mayor's office and put weird stuff on his or mayor's house and put stuff on his lawn? You know, how many times? I mean, when I was running for office, one of my neighbors had my yard sign up. And these, again, are not a couple of right wingers. These were very liberal folks who just did not like the way that things were going. They had my sign up in their yard and they got called racist by one of their neighbors. Oh, if you're supporting a racist, and it's like, prove that I'm a racist.
It is the least common denominator to just refuse to debate the issues and just call somebody a racist.
Yeah.
With no evidence, with zero.
And it's not even a good insult. Like, you could, there's plenty you could insult me about. There are plenty of dumb things that I've done in my life that you could be like, Erica sucks for these reasons. You don't have to lie and make stuff up that's like demonstrably false.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to complain about that stuff. So let's talk about, so Burlington.
But again,
right now,
that's important. The reason why, that's why it's important to show up every day. Because if you don't show up, your opponents will control the narrative about you. And so you just have to be there in those rooms, you know, almost every day.
Yep.
You know, whenever there's a meeting, you got to be there.
We've got Sherry Lynn LaMarche is joining us today. I wish I had my bag. She gave me a gift before we left town, and it had some Snickers bars in it, and said, if you're on the road and you guys turn into buttholes, except that's something different. So, yes, it is why it's part of the reason why people don't want to get involved. It's part of the reason why it's so hard to find reasonable people. If anybody out there watching saying, well, keep it we got, you know, two progressives, one with a capital P, one with a lowercase p, running for mayor. Now, I know you probably wouldn't call Joan Shannon a progressive, but I'll call her a progressive. And she's not a capital P progressive, but she's definitely not somebody that I would choose as my mayoral candidate. We'll just say that. You know, I think Burlington needs like a, oh God, what's the guy from that, just the libertarian guy that just got elected in South America?
Oh, Javier Milei.
Yeah, Milei. Burlington needs a Javier Milei. Afuera! Afuera! We need that guy in Burlington.
I just made a similar reference when I was on Kurt's radio show. He asked if I was supporting the tax increases, the public safety tax increase. And I told him, I said, look, I'm the only candidate.
Wait a second. Hold on. I'm sorry. There's a proposed tax increase for public safety. The public safety where they defunded the police, but they didn't actually refund any of our tax dollars. They just cut the budget and repurposed it. Now they need more money again.
So a couple of reasons here. One, we're facing a multi-million dollar budgetary shortfall this time around,
shocker.
This fiscal year. Shocker, right?
Okay. But probably still no sewer fixed. Probably still haven't fixed the stormwater, but okay, go ahead.
They have to make budget cuts. Moreau and the Democrats want to insulate the police department and the new hiring practices of keeping the raised cap and the new CSOs, CSLs. So in order to try and insulate the police from any budget cuts, they want to increase the public safety tax. But as I said on the radio the other day, I'm like, I'm the only candidate in this race that is campaigning on a pledge to the voters that I won't vote or support any tax rate or fee increases in the entire 2 years of my term. So I said, Kurt, I can't talk out both sides of my mouth. I'm telling people to vote no on one and two. And the reason is because the monies for public safety are fungible. And so we can still staff the police department to that high levels again, but we need to make deeper cuts to the rest of the city budget.
Yeah.
And so we can go through there and bring some of those good old libertarian Argentinian economic principles. Afuera, afuera, get out of here. We need to make some deep cuts, you know, and we need to reform and get the bloat out of city government, because there's the city of Burlington is one of the largest employers in the city, which tells me you are
way too big.
The system, you're too big. You're leeching off the system. There's a lot of inefficiency here. Go create something.
Yeah.
Get off of the government teat.
Is there still 13 DEI employees for the city of Burlington?
I don't think it's 13. I think that they're down to 9 and a director, but I'm not sure. Right. Well,
guess what? Oh, so Burlington, that is a perfect place for you to save money. You don't need more than one person to tell Burlingtonians how racist they are. OK, so and we got enough We got enough gay people to go around, okay? We're not dealing with homophobia. We have the most gay people per capita than any state in the nation. Like, okay, so we're the racism, the homophobia, all the istophobes that they are trying to say. Okay, you guys, we got it figured out. You can let's lay off 9 of those people. Keep one, okay? Keep one person.
You know, interestingly enough, that's similar to what I was thinking. I said we should keep the director, and she can pick whichever staff member she wants. The rest are gone, and then we roll those two people, the director Green, no, sorry, director Carson and her assistant into CETO, but we cut half of CETO too because that's filled with nonsense half the time.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, tell me about it. Oh my gosh!
Right. Okay. For those who aren't familiar, CETO is the Community Economic Development Office inside the city, and they are one of the largest departments in the city of Burlington.
And I'm telling you, I'm not seeing the economic development. I don't know about you, but when I see empty shops on Church Street, businesses leaving quickly, when we see that businesses have to have private security to walk their staff to their cars because of, you know, drug addicted homeless people, mentally ill people on the street, whatever happened with the proposal that the mayor was floating, Mira Weinberger, to provide safe supply?
Oh, so
yeah, for those of you listening, if you don't know, safe supply, not just a needle exchange, but actually providing drugs to drug addicts so that they cannot overdose from fentanyl and stuff. Okay, go ahead, yeah. CRISPR.
So we in Burlington, as many communities around the country, have been really dealing with opioid crisis for quite some time. It was brought on by Purdue and OxyContin, but
that's right.
The nature of the game shifted around 2016, 2018, when with the proliferation of fentanyl and the fentanyl analogs into the system, highly lethal. And as a result, for quite some time now, Erica, it's been about 8 years that we've been pushing back against this proposal of safe injection facilities, illicit injection facilities, because they're federally unlawful. You know, they're a violation of the federal crack house statute. The properties can be seized.
That's not what it says. That's not what it's called.
That is the colloquial term, and you can Google it. It will pop up right away. I swear. If you give me a second, I'll find the actual citation for it, but
oh my god,
it's ridiculous. But so, yeah, here we go.
It is crack house.
21 USC section 856, the maintaining drug involved premises, commonly referred to as the federal crack house statute.
Okay, I'm sorry, for
it is what it is. Yeah.
No, that is.
So, I mean, we have to recognize that. We have issues with addiction, and addiction transcends, it transcends race, it transcends socioeconomic lines, it transcends political party. It really affects all of us.
Everybody.
And here in Vermont, we suffer from onerous overregulations that limits healthcare practitioners. We have an inhospitable economic environment, and our legislature needs to act to make it repeal those regulations. That way we become a more hospitable environment, offer some tax incentives for drug treatment facilities to come into the state and open up. We are woefully lacking in inpatient treatment beds. And
yeah, because I don't think, forgive me, Christopher, if I missed it. Are there any hospitals left open? We used to have, oh my God, what the heck were the places called? There was like a few different places you could go that were like farms that you could go stay for a month, 6 months, and get sober, get cleaned up, get help. The last I remember hearing, all of those had closed except for Jenna's Promise. Like Jenna's Promise, I think, is the only place left open up in, oh my God.
In Northeast Kingdom, right?
No, Johnson.
Johnson, thank you. So yeah, Jenna's Promise is still active, but we've lost a lot of these treatment facilities. We've also lost halfway houses in the city of Burlington. So there's a real problem here. Also, Medicaid currently only covers about 14 days of inpatient treatment.
Yeah, which
now,
is
in our state, that's nothing. You actually, they have to have a full, we have to change that to allow for a full 30 days worth of inpatient treatment. In our state, we have roughly 650,000 people in the state, and one full third of us are on Medicaid. So that would have a tremendous impact.
Wow. No, this is what this
right.
is.
And this so is we the have, stuff we have Christopher- closed down. We have closed down a couple of universities in the state, like Marlboro, and those are the perfect and ideal locations to turn into a drug treatment facility because they have dormitories, cafeteria, classrooms. You could even house your staff there.
Small enough campuses that you could repurpose.
But you can repurpose them. Exactly. They're in a serene setting away from the predators that are going to try and offer them drugs. But because we are profoundly lacking in treatment beds, Vermonters, in quintessential Vermont politics style, offer some nonsensical kick the can of, well, let's just open up a drug treatment safe injection site so addicts can come here and use, and if they die in front of us, we will bring them back to life and let them use again, and isn't just perpetuate that, mind-blowing.
This is the thing, you know, Christopher, if our tax dollars were going towards programs that you could tell were actually helping people, I would not have sold my house in Burlington. But once I heard that they were building another homeless shelter next to the high school after having, you know, tons of overdoses in front of the students being harassed by, you know, mentally ill drug addicts, all of these problems. And then, you know, they were going to spend another million plus dollars on another facility plus do all this. And I'm going, as a recovering drug addict, I can tell you that what they are proposing will only kill people. It's like if your goal is to just sort of like mitigate the disaster that's coming, and so you just want them all to like die in one place rather than ODing all over the city, that's, I mean, I guess that's a tactic.
You know, I have reservations and many objections to the hub and spoke model as it is. I really feel like we need to work on interdiction, prohibit stopping the flow of fentanyl into our cities. And to begin with, number one. Number two, we need more drug treatment inpatient beds, and we need to make those Medicaid reforms, like I said. That's imperative. But what do you do when they get out from 30 days? Because you know as well as I do, the person who's set on a pathway to recovery has to change people, places, and things, which is the primary deficiency in the hub and spoke model. Correct. So when they get out, we need to have more supportive halfway houses. Halfway houses are wonderful. So they provide, you got to wake up, you got to time to wake up in the morning, got to eat breakfast at a certain time, you got to do chores, got to get a job, you got to go to meetings, you got to be in at a certain time. That structured environment really helps people get another day clean. And once we have those supportive settings for people, that we will start to see a decrease in the proliferation of these addictions.
Okay. So I could, you know, Christopher, anybody who knows us knows
subject.
We could go on and on about everything. And we only have about, you know, 15, 20 minutes left. So I want to make sure we cover a bunch of stuff, particularly your race. Okay, so somebody, Yardbird Vermont, says stealing up to $900 worth of goods is a joke. Yeah, that basically, like, you can steal essentially $1,000 worth of stuff and not be arrested, convicted, or anything like that. And then they wonder why businesses are moving, leaving, closing down.
Yeah. So we have had issues with our legal system, judicial system, for some time. And, you know, in my opinion, there are three responsible parties for the issues that we have. Sarah George receives a lot of the blame for this. And don't get me wrong, Sarah's office holds her fair share of responsibility with her progressive policies. But as a state's attorney, she is only empowered with the tools that the legislature gives her. And our legislature has refused to update our laws in an eternity. We don't even have Grand Theft Auto on the books. So, you know,
in the
state of Vermont, there's no statute for Grand Theft Auto. So if an individual steals your car in Burlington and they are caught down the street, they can only be charged with like receiving stolen property.
What? But it's still stealing. Who cares if it's a car or a shirt? It's stealing.
Well, because they can just say that I didn't steal the car. The person gave it to me.
What in
or the... lent it to me? Yeah,
I didn't steal it.
The person lent it to me. So, but do you see, like Sarah's like, oh, they're there. But those are the tools that the legislature has given her,
and which they have refused
to, right.
Which and you know she could get over.
Well, She could, but because she's progressive, like, she has less restrictions on that. And she has a lot of prosecutorial discretion. Don't forget that during all of COVID, our judicial branch kind of went on siesta.
They
did. For like two straight years.
For 2 years.
Really enjoy being in their pajama pants at home. And now because of it, we've got a bottleneck worse than, you know, the people descending Everest. Which in itself is a constitutional violation because these people are being denied their right to a speedy trial.
Wow, Christopher. Okay, so this is okay.
So lots of blame to go around. Don't get me wrong. Sarah George bears her share of the burden, but the real issue is too many Vermonters think that the legislature is horrible, but they love their legislator, and they need to change that thinking. They're all pretty flipping
bad.
They're
all terrible.
They're all terrible. There's so, that political social class of they like to be hoity-toity and go along to get along, which means that they're really just controlled by the activists and the nonprofits.
Well, and that's what, oh gosh, we could go on a whole other tangent about nonprofits. Don't let me do it. Okay. So you're running for city council in Burlington, Ward 3. You are in one of the most progressive wards in the city. If not, because you don't include UVM, right? That's Ward 2.
Yeah, well, Ward 2 is part of the other side of Central District, and UVM is over by 1 and 8 are UVM.
1 and 8, that's right, yes. that's right. Okay.
But their off-campus students live in 2 and 3.
Okay, so you are kind of in the belly of the beast. You are the belliest of the beastiests. Okay, so what have you been hearing, what have you been finding as you're knocking on doors, pounding the pavement, talking to people out there? What are you hearing from Burlingtonians? What matters to them? What are they worried about? Like, what's going on there?
Okay, so I would say that during my outreach and the conversations I've been having with my neighbors, that there isn't one singular issue that dominates. There are three major and overlapping issues. The first being public safety, overlapping with addiction, like we just touched upon, and housing and affordability. Because in this progressive city, they've never seen a tax increase, a rate increase, or a fee increase that they didn't love and overwhelmingly support. And then they turn around and like lament, oh, it's so I hear your pain. It's unaffordable in town. Oh, but you know, Jim and Tammy really need you. So we're going to raise taxes, it's for the kiddos. And I'm like, these two things cannot coexist. I'm like, every single tax increase results in your rent getting increased. Stop the insanity.
That's what, Christopher, I got forwarded a note from the Burlington superintendent, maybe a couple months ago now. And it was basically like, oh, we couldn't possibly figure out where to make any cuts. How could we cut anything from the budget at all? So your taxes are going to go up 14%. Sorry. Whoops.
Yeah.
Either everyone in Burlington is so poor that their children need every single meal paid for, or everyone in Burlington is so rich that they can just afford infinite numbers of tax increases.
You know, it's ironic because they keep this is a vicious circle. They keep increasing the taxes for the school. And what it does at the end is it drives families right out of town. So we are going to have this magnificent palace of a new high school for like $200 million. And there'll be no families. And Tom Flanagan is such a robot. It's ridiculous. Like, oh, really, Tom? You can't figure out how to do some subtraction? Sorry.
Well, and that's what, if you talk to anyone in the school, they will tell you there is so much bloat in the administrative department.
Yes.
Essentially, that there are programs in the technical center that need to be cut. There are programs in the high school that need to be cut.
They'd rather have some gender counselor in there indoctrinating your children on how they're born in the wrong body.
Right.
That's more important than skilled trades or their reading and literacy skills or their math and science skills. Like their skills are in their ability levels are in the tank. They're horrible at these things.
It
highlights the fact that this is the time. I think it's a crucial time for Vermonters to really push back and start demanding an expansion of school choice, because only when the tax, we're paying now about $23,000 a year per student. Only when those tax dollars follow the student to the school of their choice will we have proper competition and probably, hopefully, correct some of this nonsense that's going on in our government schools.
Absolutely. And I know technically you don't have control over the schools as a city councilor, but it does affect budgeting, right? Because now if Burlington residents and property owners have their taxes increased, then they're going to come to you and be like, where's the city budget? What are you guys spending your money on, right? So it's just this big bunch of cucka. So, okay, so for affordability, housing affordability.
And home ownership. We want to talk about, because it because of some of these onerous regulations that we have in the state, like Act 250 and such, it can take like 8 to 10 years to build anything new. How do we open up the entry-level housing market immediately? Well, there's one way. We can repeal the city tax on tax penalty on condo co-op conversion of older building.
Oh, I love this.
This is a hot tip to the NIMBYs, because the NIMBYs are always complaining, oh, the character of the neighborhood. I'm like, okay, well, great. You want to preserve these beautiful old Victorians in town that are now
renters? What are they saying?
Oh, the character of the neighborhood.
I'm sorry. It's true, though.
It is true. Oh, my God.
Okay, sorry.
Are the worst.
Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting. Okay, keep going. So the NIMBY people.
So yeah, these old Victorians, these 100-year-old beautiful Victorians that lie in our hill section, they're currently carved up into like 6 and 7 rental units. And with a turnover rate of annually, renters are very hard on the building. If you want to preserve this building instead of having it like just disintegrate on us in the city, repeal the condo and co-op conversion tax. Because then that will immediately open up reinvestment into them. The people who own the property right now could still be the property manager. They're just selling units in the building. You can buy, if you love the apartment you're in, but you think you need a little more space, you can buy the unit like right above you and put a staircase in, or the one right next to it and knock down the wall. It also gives the busybody something to do, because then you're sparking all these little HOAs where they can all be in their business and talk about the paint trim colors that they want to use on their Victorians. Like, let's focus them somewhere, you know, like when you're dealing with a undisciplined student and that has a lack of focus, you give them something to focus on. We're like, hey, how about you work on this? Like, you want to work on preserving the neighborhood? Let's
go,
get you focused over here.
It. God,
and
love
it immediately opens up the entry level housing market.
I love that.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And the property owners now get a tremendous influx of cash. They can either reinvest it in the properties, use that as a beginning sum to try and create a new development from scratch, because you know it costs money to go through that process too. It's win-win-win across the board for everybody in the city to do this.
I think that is such a good idea. And to be honest with you, we might have considered that rather than selling the house, because we just got to the point personally where the property taxes just didn't, we couldn't make it make sense anymore. When you have a, you know, multi-$1,000 tax increase in 1 year, you can't raise rent enough to cover that. Right. And I'm sorry, I'm a generous person, but I am not going to pay for my tenants to live in my house. Like, I'm not paying extra to own this property so that you can live in it. Like, I can't lose money, right?
Well,
so that's something that would have been great to consider. And I think, you know, this is so funny. I'm sorry. Sherry Lynn says, they need to put some single moms in there with the budget. We will find where to cut things in that Taj Mahal. I love it. Oh, yes.
I love it.
Sherry Lynn, yes, you should absolutely run for city council, because we need normal human beings with brain cells to be on school board and city council, not people who are activists who think that they're entitled to all of your labor and your belongings. Okay, so I love this idea.
You mentioned that our housing market in Burlington is upside down. A healthy housing market is supposed to be like 60% homeowners, 40% renters. We are upside down. We are 66% renters to 70% by some estimates, and about 30% homeowners. I know. And so this, by repealing that condo conversion, these people are now really invested in, they see how when property taxes go up, it affects what their monthly payments are. It's really obscured now in the system when it comes to renters. And as such, many renters are ignorant of how it there.
They have literally no idea. That's what at right. one point I sent a note to my tenants and I was like, hey, here's how much is actually rent. Here's how much of your rent goes towards property taxes.
Yep.
Just so yeah. you know, like, and I think yeah. if I remember correctly, it was something like, oh God, it was like $400 a month per unit or something like that when I did the math.
Yep.
It's just, it's absolutely, and oh, it's all unaffordable. Okay.
Yeah. My neighbor showed me her monthly statement
yeah.
where there's her mortgage payment and then the yeah. amount that's taxes and they are almost equal.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that. That's outrageous. That is outrageous. Yardbird Vermont says she's in, I think she, it looks like, or she, Yardbird. I guess I'm assuming it's a female, but that's probably not. I'm assuming your gender. I'm canceled. Yeah, the person said they're a school teacher. So I'm sorry. I just assume it's a woman. Yardbird, forgive me if you're a man. I apologize. But apparently Grand Isle is looking at double digit property tax increase too.
Yes, so it's all around the state. We're facing a triple whammy. We're facing it from the state, from the school district, and from the municipality.
Wow. Yeah, because so like, Vermont passed a $1 billion budget. Which for those of you who are not Vermonters, there's only about 500,000 people in Vermont. Okay. What it's like 650,000-ish,
yeah.
something like that. Probably less now because everybody's moved and like died of fentanyl overdoses. Sorry to make a joke out of it. I know three people that have had someone die of a fentanyl overdose in the last 60 days. And that's just me personally. So anyway, I digress. Okay.
There's a proliferation.
Oh, Jeremy. Yardbird is Jeremy. Sorry, Jeremy. I totally assumed your gender wrong.
Mr.
Forgive Yardbird. Me. Mr. Yardbird. Okay, so we've got, okay, so we're talking about housing. We're talking about affordability. We're talking about the fentanyl, the nonsense. What else do we need to hit from about your campaign, things that you want to make sure to highlight? And just before we forget, you guys, go to, I'm going to share my screen here. Go to Felker for Ward 3, Felker, the number 4, Ward.
No, incorrect.
Oh, no, it is 4. No, it's 3. Yeah. Felker, F-O-R, Ward 3. It looks like Felker Forward.
Yes.
Which I also really like. I like it. I like Felker Forward as much as I like Felker 4, Ward 3. So Felker, the word 4, and then the number 3, ward3.com. So check out the website, learn more. This is the most important button right here, this donate. Give your man some money, okay? Homeboy needs some money. He needs to win because we want to try to save Vermont from all these crazy people. Save Burlington, for goodness sake. Okay, so
it's important that people recognize that everything that starts and grows in these small little progressive enclaves around the country really does spread through the Middle Atlantic region, through the Rust Belt, and it penetrates, and I'm sure you feel it down in Texas too. It pops up and starts to grow in places like Austin. And so it's really, really important. We see the dysfunction in the national parties, both of them. And it's really important to support the small soldiers that are on the front lines of these things.
Yeah.
With just even token support of $24 here. It adds up. It really shows to the overall electorate and the campaign finance hawks that people are listening.
Yep.
Because this is, you know, we love your thoughts and prayers, but the UPS takes cash. So if we want to put messaging in people's mailboxes, we've got to pay for it.
And that's the thing. Republicans, conservatives are famous for being cheapskates. So real talk, y'all. Christopher's not going to say it because he can't, because he's got to be nice and likable. But I'll say it because I don't give a crap. Y'all are cheapskates. Y'all are cheapskates. Y'all do not donate to your candidates. I think there's so many people in Vermont and Burlington, I'm just guessing, that they're apathetic. They don't, because they don't believe we have a chance, they act like we don't have a chance, and then we don't have a chance. But if y'all would actually just buck up, pony up a couple bucks, and maybe spend an hour or two talking to your friends and family, we would have a totally different landscape in Vermont. So stop being a bunch of cheapskate loser people. And I'm saying it, losers. What was it? Oh, Oh my God. You know, our lady friend from out in the Underhill area, who's very, very saucy.
Yeah, I do.
She said, I remember a meeting one time. She was like, I'm sick of being a loser. We're losers and I'm sick of being a loser. And I was like, yes, yes. Cause we're not, we have the better ideas. Vermont will be better off. Burlington will be better off. But if nobody ever hears the message.
Yeah. Well, then there's that great quote. There's that great quote from Teddy Roosevelt about being the man in the arena and being the person, the leader who has suffered loss in addition to victory, because it's the it rounds out your character and your person. We learned these lessons playing sports growing up, right? You have to be a good sport when you lose. You know, that's if you strike out, you need to dust yourself off and know that there's another inning coming and you just got to keep playing. Because you're coming back up to bat. You can't just retreat and recoil and expect a participation trophy. You need to fight for it. And you need to find something worth fighting for. And if you can't fight for your community and the people in it, then what are you doing?
Well, and it's even that. You're fighting for yourself. If you're not willing, you know, people will say, oh, I don't have time, or oh, I don't have the money. And it's like, well, do you have the time and money for your property taxes to go up 14% just from the school budget? Do you have time and energy to deal with the ridiculous, onerous regulations and things that they're putting on you?
Yeah.
You as a homeowner can't put a shed in your backyard without getting permission. You can't replace your flooring without paying for permission to the city of Burlington. But if I'm a crazy homeless person, I could just post up anywhere I want and build my own house and not be responsible, pay taxes or do it. Like,
yep.
They don't.
You bring up.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You bring up a really good point. People complain. They say, I don't have the time. Well, that's fine. But some people do. So you can donate to their campaigns. You can. And if you're worried about being spotted on a campaign finance report and then being hounded, know that if you donate under $100, your donation is appreciated, but your name is not listed on campaign finance reports. So you can fly under the radar there. But if you're complaining that you don't have the time to talk to your neighbors or to care about these issues, I'm here to warn you, you're about to have a whole lot less free time because you're going to have to work a lot harder to pay for those tax increases.
That's right. I feel like we should
put a pin in it. How valuable is your time, man? Like, how valuable is your time? Because you're about to have a whole lot less of it.
I feel like we should put a pin in it right there. I know we're rounded out our time here, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the mayoral race. Okay. Just out of curiosity, Christopher, do you have any idea? Has any polling been done for the mayoral race? Do you have any idea?
No, we haven't had any polling, and I'm reluctant to make a guess based upon lawn signs because, well, one, like they say, lawn signs don't vote. And two, you know, from living in this city, how many of the activists play games with lawn signs and steal them and tear them down. Yep. So it's not an accurate metric. We have ranked choice voting. I am fairly confident right now to say that I believe Democrat Joan Shannon will win, if not in the first round, the second.
Second round.
I think, because it's a four-way race between Democrat Joan Shannon, progressive candidate Emma Mulvaney Stanek, and then two independent candidates, Chris Haseley and another one, Will Emmon.
Oh, Chris Haseley's running?
Yeah, Chris Haseley's a really good guy.
Oh my God. Okay, everybody vote for Chris. I shouldn't say that.
For sure. Please rank him for sure.
Definitely. Chris Haseley.
I always tell people, vote your conscience. Like, you know where these candidates stand on the issues. I encourage you to vote your conscience. For me, like, I think that Joan has a lot of experience and really does understand many of these things. While there are policy issues of hers that I disagree with, I think that more unites us than divides us. I have an open line of communication with her. She can call me and I can call her, which I can't say for Emma, who happens to be my neighbor who lives a block away and won't even make eye contact with me anymore, even though I'm the chairman of the Republican Party.
Yeah, you guys, Emma Mulvaney Stanek.
She is an authoritarian.
She's awful.
Criminalized speech, yes.
Yeah, you guys, here's the deal. First of all, I really like Chris Haseley. He's also progressive leaning. He's like a Jimmy Dore character where he's a total lefty lib progressive person, but he's not outrageously stupid.
He has like a libertarian streak.
Yeah, he
just strong libertarian streak.
Exactly. He has a very strong libertarian streak. He's not an authoritarian. He just thinks that there should be universal health care. And I'm dumbing down his stance. You guys, you should go check him out. I would much prefer somebody like a Chris Haseley. Now, whether or not, and he's going to hate me for saying this, but whether or not he has a chance of winning, I don't know. I would assume Joan Shannon and Emma Mulvaney Stanek are the two top contenders. And I would much prefer, as much as I don't like her either, I would much prefer Joan Shannon over Emma Mulvaney Stanek. Joan Shannon, again, in my opinion, I'm saying it, not Christopher. She's a crazy lib. She doesn't listen. She doesn't care. She's still going to do all the progressive stuff. She's just going to do it in a way where she's going to be more respectful about it. Now, does she want to criminalize speech? Does she think abortion up to the point of birth is cool? I don't think so. I think she's a reasonable person. Emma Mulvaney Stanek is not a reasonable person in any kind of a way. She is terrible. Burlington, you cannot let that woman get elected to mayor.
Even thinking about the mayoral race on a public policy and affordability standpoint, Joan's experience and understanding of public safety, she knows how it can be funded. Emma, I've been following these debates. Emma is overpromising. She can't get half of that done, and she has yet to account for how she would pay for any of it. And
she doesn't care.
She can't. I know she can't. So it's all pie in the sky. Fantasy land, like rainbows and unicorns coming from Camp Emma, and Joan's just offering some straight talk express. And I will say this, when Joan and I disagree on things, she lets me know. We can argue about it, and I appreciate that, because in this business, there are so many sleazy politicians that'll just pay you lip service and then throw you under the bus 30 seconds after you get off the phone. If Joan and I disagree, I know we disagree on it, but we still hang up the phone and we can still talk to each other and be friends the next day.
Right.
So I appreciate that line of communication, not just as the leader of my city, but as the leader of my party. It's important that I have that kind of line of communication to be able to represent my constituency in the city.
Yeah, that is so important. And I think that's something that anybody listening, there's a lot of people who are going to want to sit out this mayoral race because they don't like any of the options. So they're just not going to vote at all. You guys, do not do that. Do not do that. Because when you don't vote, when you don't participate, that's how we end up with the tyranny. That's how we end up with people like, nice mug.
You know it. That's what I was. You're like, who's making tea? It was me grabbing my generally irritable mug.
I love it, you guys. If you too would like your own generally irritable mug, holler at your girl. They are for sale, $20. We'll mail you one. I love it. And we're actually, you can't see it. You guys, we have a surprise. You'll probably get to see it next week. They're not going to be able to see it, are they? Carefully. Can you do it carefully? Are you sure? Okay, you guys, we'll do, I was going to do a big reveal next week, but Benjamin's going to go grab it. So, you know, our book, Reasons to Trust the Government, Christopher?
Yes, the coffee table book. Yes.
Yes. Okay, so we commissioned an artist to create the cover. So the bust, the head of the donkey and elephant, we hired an artist to actually recreate it. Do you want me to move the camera? That seems dangerous. I don't like what you're doing.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is fantastic. I love it. Erica, I think your microphone's off.
You have your microphone.
There you go.
Why is there a stupid mute button that I hit all the time? You guys, there's a stupid mute button on my mic I accidentally hit all the time. So yes, you guys got to see it. First reveal of the new item. Christopher, you've just been such a great friend and a great leader. I really want to, I know I said it a little bit at the beginning, but you guys, Christopher works tirelessly on behalf of conservatives and Republicans in the state of Vermont. You see him sometimes, you know, he's running for office or he's being GOP chair, but he's doing a bunch of other stuff behind the scenes. He helps coordinate conservative events around the state. He's cooperating with, you know, the likes of Guy Page and Vermont Daily Chronicle for stories. He's helping other candidates get ready to run for office. He's prepping people. He's he's going to city council meetings and the commission meetings and all this stuff, representing you representing you and your values, sticking up for really the voiceless, you know, being the voice of the voiceless. And oh, look
and
at
we're
that.
Rooted in we're rooted in principles of civil liberties belong to all of us. And so we fight for that because too many people in Vermont politics and politics in general will compromise their principles when it benefits them. And so that is where I hold the line. And we go out every day and suit up and show up for Burlington and Burlingtonians, but even our new American communities.
Yeah,
many of these people are people of very family oriented, people of deep faith. And it's important that we welcome them and bring them into the fold. We can help them on their pathway to citizenship, and we can guarantee them the American dream that they long for. Because the Democrats and progressives will not.
And
they want
right.
them in state rental housing units, be under their control.
Yep.
And that's not what they came here for. They came here to buy land and be part of the system.
Yep. And like you said, many of them are very religious, very deep faith. And that is not conducive to progressivism. It just really isn't. And so we leave this whole constituency on the table for Democrats when they really are our voters. And so
these
I
are people that.
That
come from nations where they know the bitterness of socialism. They have fled socialism. So if we extend our hands in support, they will join us because they will be repelled by our socialist opponents in this
state. That's right.
And they are our base. We just need to open up our arms and welcome them.
Yep, that is right. That is right. Oh, and Colby LaMarche posted tinyurl felker24. Excuse me. So that's another way you can go find Mr. Christopher Aaron. Check it out. I love seeing Colby LaMarche's name in the chat. What's up, my man? How you doing? Oh, and
brilliant young man.
He really is. I've seen his writings in like Vermont Daily Chronicle and stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Colby does in the future.
Yeah, he did. He has a Substack, and he did an article on the Burlington City Council debates, and he ranked me as the winner out of all of them.
Oh,
yeah, it's a good one.
I mean, that's obvious because you're the brightest one out of the bunch. But you know, whatever. I'm just saying. I love it. All right, cool. So anything else before we hop off of our chat today? What do people need to hear?
You know, if you stand on principles and fight for what's right in your community and support your local candidates, support candidates in your town, in your county, and your neighboring municipalities, because then that's how you build a coalition and you start to push back against the nonsense in your area. About building those little coalitions inside your community. And, you know, keep fighting the good fight. We all lose from time to time. Just get back up, dust yourself off, and get back in the ring, like Teddy Roosevelt said.
I love it. All right, Christopher Aaron Felker, candidate for Burlington City Council Ward 3. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for fighting. Thank you for all of your courage and your stamina. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you again soon.
I appreciate you both. Thank you so much, Erica. Have a good night, Ben.
Bye, guys.